university officials who invited Ahmadinejad say it's about an exchange of ideas.
An educational benefit for the Colombian community. Have a first-hand acquaintance with him.
Not good enough, says Senator Hillary Clinton.
If I were a president of a university, I would not have invited him. He's a Holocaust denier. He's a supporter of terrorism.
Last year, Columbia invited Ahmadinejad to speak, but then withdrew the offer, citing security concerns. This time around, the university appears to be ready to open the floor to the Iranian leader.
Mr. President, your statements here today and in the past have provoked many questions, which I would like to pose to you on behalf of the students and faculty who have submitted them to me. Let me begin with the question to which you just
please
alluded.
Please, one by one. One by one, please.
Yes. The first question is, do you or your government seek the destruction of the state of Israel as a Jewish state?
We love all nations and are friends with Jews. Many Jews live in peace and security in Iran today. In our constitution, there is a seat in the parliament for every 150,000 people. But for the Jews, even though they're one-fifth this number, there is a separate seat. An independent representative of the Jews in the parliament. We suggest a humane and diplomatic solution for the Palestinian issue. We think the Palestinian nation should determine their destiny and solve this 60-year problem. This logic is according to the prism of the UN and human rights. Let's allow the Jew, Muslim, and Christian Palestinians decide their future. A referendum should be conducted and the choice of the Palestinian nation should be respected by all states. No nation should interfere in the Palestinian nation's issues.
Believe me, even when I spoke to some diplomats who are never frank, the case with all diplomats from around the world, they asked me if this duel was organized by us.
Talking the way he talks and saying and speaking the truth, as he does, has been a tremendous assist to all Americans who know what he's saying is the truth. And it makes it easier for us to come out and repeat what he says because, I mean, with the he has his prestige.
Is good enough to join us. Mr. Bollinger, I guess there's two ways to look at this, all right? And we've been having a lot of conversations back and forth since we heard your comments. You can either ignore the man, as some were saying the United States should do, or you should engage him and get in his face and tell him the truth, however difficult it may be to hear that. You chose the latter. Why?
Because the dean of the School of International Affairs and faculty members wanted him to come and speak, and this is part of the academic decision-making to have people of significant power and influence come to the university and address issues. The only way I wanted that to happen, and we wanted that to happen, was to make sure that the issues were confronted in a really full and sincere and authentic way.
The president of the university, Lee Bollinger, says is going to happen. He contends that he will be leading the questioning and that he's not going to make it easy for President Ahmadinejad.
As a matter of fact, the atmosphere's influence on them was so strong that he asked if there are similar environments in Iran so they could come and talk in Iran. And Mr. Ahmadinejad announced that he invites all professors.
They asked whether we would permit any of the professors of students of Columbia University to come to Iran. I'd like to officially invite all the professors and students of Columbia University for a dialogue with the Iranian universities. I'd like to officially invite the professors and students of Columbia University for a dialogue with Iranian universities and to visit Iran.
I was quite surprised that it was mentioned by this university, because many of its so-called professors quite frequently travel to Iran, and we know many of them. We talk to them, and when they return, their perception completely changes.
The opportunity for me to go to New York City and meet President Ahmadinejad face-to-face, in person, it was also a very unique experience in that I saw a side of President Ahmadinejad that I had never seen before, and that was, I got a sense that he is a man of deep spirituality. He's a very thoughtful individual, that when he answers a question, he's answering it based upon his own personal experiences, but backed up with a wide range of reading and research and personal observations that reflect a deep intellect that was very surprising to me, because he's only a couple years older than I am, but I sensed that I was in the presence of someone who was a very old soul, as we say in America, in English. He was a very old soul with a great deal of background and knowledge and wisdom, far beyond the years that he's been here in the face of the earth.
In the last 100 years, it is apparent that based on some vague and suspicious events, some very big events have occurred. Phenomenon named Holocaust, which they don't allow it to be elucidated. It's a complicated issue which has been given a religious flavor through propaganda, so no one could get close enough to investigate it. It has been the excuse of many atrocities in the past 60 years, not only in Palestine, but also in many corners of the world.
What do you want to say to Mr. Ahmadinejad at this meeting?
You ask if it's difficult. Of course, the whole concept of Judaism is to serve God, to be subservient to God.
And what do you want to ask of Mr. Ahmadinejad at this meeting?
We haven't come to ask. We've come to praise and to thank him for his understanding, for his kindness, to express our closeness, and that God should help Israel to continue to be strong in the separation between Judaism and Zionism, and the help for human beings, and not to be ensnared into the attacks of Zionism, and to develop a failing, God forbid, that the Jewish people want this. Again, we stress, we know that he wants the good for the Jewish people, and that he's being maligned, and his words are being misconstrued by the world because he's against this flawed and evil political movement of Zionism. He does not want the destruction of the Jews, not throughout the world, of course, and not in Iran, of course, and not in Palestine.
Hey, this is Josh Marshall from TPM Media. It's October 26, 2007, final day of Islamofascism Awareness Week. We're heading up to Columbia University, where David Horowitz, the founder of Islamofascism Awareness Week, is going to be speaking to the students up at Columbia. We're going to check it out. And Horowitz has made clear that it's difficult these days for him to go onto a college campus for the possible violence attacks on him.
I can't go to a campus and just speak. I can't have a civilized discussion. I have to have bodyguards. I have to have campus security.
He has to bring bodyguards, a lot of security. There's various leftists attacking his message, standing up against Islamofascism. So we're going to go up there, check out the speech, talk to the protesters, see if there's any violence, any attacks planned on Horowitz, and we'll tell you what we find out. So we're here just before the main event, Islamofascism Awareness Week. David Horowitz going to be speaking. It's, as you can see, it's a packed house. We're here at the Lerner Auditorium, Columbia University. All right, we're here, the final day of Islamofascism Awareness Week. I'm about to hear from the founder of the event, David Horowitz. Max Blumenthal here, you're here shooting. Well, first of all, what do you think is the true meaning of Islamofascism Awareness Week?
Islamofascism Awareness Week is a fundraising event for David Horowitz. He's been putting out fundraising bulletins disguised as, pleas for security for his speakers, indulging the bogus persecution complex of the right. Yes. And this effort is an effort on his part to cash in on the new boogeyman of the right, which is Muslims.
Thank you. Why is the term of Islamofascism appropriate? It has been attacked by a left which went out in very large numbers to save Saddam Hussein and is now actively working to save, to protect the nuclear program of the Persian Hitler, Ahmadinejad.
People like this be teaching our children in the classroom. Joining us now is terrorism expert Steve Emerson is back with us. Steve, welcome. Apparently we lost your satellite, but welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us. Steve, I'm listening to what he's saying. He supports Hezbollah. He says we're all Hezbollah. And how is it possible he's even being considered for tenure?
It is pretty amazing that the actual faculty committees have actually voted overwhelmingly in favor of him, considering that he has never produced anything scholarly, only screeds against what he considers his enemies, and actual book reviews that have come out after his books have been published have all trashed his books, as have been nothing but glorified Elders of Zion conspiracy theories. Yeah. Here he's in his element by when he says we're all Hezbollah. He basically calls for Israel's destruction, as he does for the United States. And, you know, if somebody is going to be teaching students, it's hard to believe he knows what the objective truth is, if he's or even be able to present both sides, if he's calling for Israel's destruction and he's calling to basically support Hezbollah.
That was Dr. Finkelstein. He's a professor at DePaul University who might get his tenure on Tuesday if the university allows it.
Essentially, this is an academic voice that's being silent.
I think if you're going to try to tell the truth, you should be supported, not oppressed by an administration.
During my six-year stint at DePaul, I consistently received among the highest student evaluations in my department. I have published 5 books to critical acclaim from leading scholars, and they have been translated into 46 foreign editions.
I asked him about his book, The Holocaust Industry, and whether I would be able to buy it at any bookstore.
The Holocaust Industry was translated into 20 languages, and most of my other books have been translated.
When was that written, The Holocaust Industry?
2000.
Yeah, 2000.
I think there's a Farsi translation, I can't remember now.
Is it being sold in regular bookstores in America?
No, I don't think any of my books are anywhere in bookstores.
In America, you cannot find them?
generally, no.
You won't be able to find them in Barnes & Noble. You won't be able to find them in...
Maybe a few Barnes & Nobles. One of the books may be there. In general, no.
So there's the movement or a lobby or just some resistance that it will not be read by the American?
The forces of evil know how to accomplish their ends, you know, so they know how to keep the books out of the bookstore.
Why would you call it the industry, the Holocaust industry?
Well, because it's large parts of it are driven by profits in one form or another. It also it's ceaselessly producing and expanding. It's like an industry. Actually, it's more like a conglomerate now.
این مقاطعی مقطعی که الان ما توش هستیم بشر از یک دورانی وارد.
Today, mankind is entering a new era. The previous era was the era of power, economic power, military power.
قدرت اقتصادی، قدرت نظامی.
What superiority? It continued for a few hundred years. There was also a time of racial superiority. Or you could say racial discrimination. Today, humankind has entered the era of thought and culture. A very beautiful era indeed. Not that mistakes would not be made and atrocities will not occur. Well, it's obvious that in a 7 billion population, criminals exist too. Some might talk about a state being a superpower and having hundreds of nuclear warheads. However, no one takes such talk serious anymore. Some politicians might feel threatened and even make some moves out of fear, but in their mind, it doesn't really have any perfection or value. They say this technology was once a sign of a government's truth. Their technology and industry indicated a state's truth. But that's all over now. If someone says a government has sent a rocket to another planet, let's say they've invaded Mars, it won't be regarded as perfection. Everyone would ask about their behavior.
The problem is Bush gets up on TV with his supporters and terrorizes the people, saying Iran is going to nuke you and kill you, and Ahmadinejad is going to kill you, and he's a madman, and all of that's a lie. I've actually read the quotes.
And although there is a tremendous undercurrent, without question, an undercurrent of Americans that realize that things aren't really the way they're supposed to be in this regard, you don't hear much about it. The spokesmen are the spokesmen for the Zionists.
Every time Israel or the U.S. government threatens to attack Iran, Iran says that, well, then we'll attack you back. And then that's taken out of context with Ahmadinejad says he's going to attack us, when really they took the sentence out and basically are lying about it.
Zionists are the tool for suppression throughout the world. The tool for suppressing thoughts, the tool for suppressing emotions, the tool for suppressing humanity, the tool for suppressing the identity or culture of nations. We can now know the networks, and introducing them takes its own effort.
The media, the broadcasting companies, the television companies, and the people that control the newspapers are Zionists, frankly. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they're all Jewish, because there are many Christian Zionists. Yeah. President Bush, of course, was elected with the support of these people.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, the real problem, though, that we face as Americans is this problem we have with the mass media, because so many Americans, when you're able to sit down with them and talk to them logically about what's going on, they agree with you, and yet they turn on their television every night. And on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, what do we find? Constant attacks on Islam, constant attacks on President Ahmadinejad, constant scare stories about how Iran is going to do something evil to the United States, or Iran might provide nuclear weapons to somebody who might do something evil to the United States. So this scares Americans.
Well, he assumes we've entered the so-called information era. You say we have entered the era of thought and culture. Two different ideas. Information is not knowledge. Knowledge is obtained from information. We must create virtue and awareness from knowledge. If it isn't the era of thought and culture, and is the era of information and data, which they're proud of so much, then this isn't the world that we think of.
Mr. President, thank you for being here with us on CNN. What do you make of your reception here in the United States at Columbia University? Do you wish that you had not had to go to Columbia University, or do you feel that it was useful?
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful.
To make the life of Ahmadinejad, as he is in New York, miserable.
We've come to praise and to thank him for his understanding, for his kindness.
President, you exhibit all the signs and equilibrium.
We call on the United Nations to lock his doors to Ahmadinejad.
I think that's really a sad commentary.
Why did he want to go to Ground Zero? He actually believes the Jews did it.
We gotta attack Iran, 9/11. We gotta attack Lebanon, 9/11. We gotta invade Iraq, 9/11. We gotta take your freedoms and take your property here in America.
Why is the term Islamo-fascism appropriate? And is now...